Okay, it's a clip from a video game, but I thought it was a great clip to start my sermon off this morning. Because see, here's the thing, folks. If you're not aware of it right now, we are in a battle. We are in a war. And just so you are aware of something, we're not losing. Come on, we are not losing. So here's the thing. So many times we see the negative stuff and we think of all the bad stuff that's going on. We're thinking, God, what's going on? But you know, there is some really good things happening as we maintain our post, as we maintain our focus. Let me tell you a couple things that are going on that I'm really excited about, that God is doing right now in our community. I was talking this Wednesday afternoon, we had a meeting and with one of our organizations that we're part of here. And the leader for the organization says, you wouldn't believe what's going on right now. He says, it's almost like we're walking through the book of Acts in the Bible. He says, what happens? He says, I've been going out and I've been praying for people. And he says, there's one guy I went up and prayed for, or I was talking to, and he says, man, my arm is just so bad. And he asked him, so like, what's your pain level like, 1 to 10? He says, about an 8. So what he did is he says, man, we got to pray. So he went down to him and he prayed and says, God, would you just touch this guy's arm? Simple prayer. And the guy goes, wow, it's a little better. He says, what's the level like? Oh, about a 6. That's not good enough. He says, let's pray again. So he prayed again. He says, so what's, how's your arm? He says, oh, it's really actually getting better. It's about a 4. Not good enough yet. So he took his arm in his hands, his elbow in his hands, and he held it. And he began praying. He says, as he held his elbow, he felt the bones move. And all of a sudden, the guy goes, you got to be kidding me. It is completely, completely gone, the pain. This is happening right now, folks. God is doing things. I thought I'd get a cheer for that or something. God is doing things right now. Miracles that are happening right now. But there is a battle that we need to fight, and we cannot give up. And we want to look again in the scripture. We're doing a series in Philippians chapter 1 and the book of Philippians, and we're still in chapter 1. And I want to look at verses 27 to 30 here this morning. And I want to talk about maintaining your battle station here today. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. Why don't you stand with me for the reading of God's word? If you don't have a Bible, we want to give you a Bible. So please come talk to us. I put the scripture up here, but if you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to have one. It says this. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it is been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Father, thank you again for your incredible word. Thank you that you're still doing a work today. Thank you, Father, that though the battle is raging, you've given us the ability to stand strong and to make it through this battle. So, Lord, we ask right now in Jesus' name, would you just help us to hear from you here this morning? Speak to us clearly and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Three essentials for victory in the battle to protect your faith. In the battle that you and I are in, first of all, an essential is consistency. Consistency. Verse 27 says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner of the gospel of Christ. It's got to start with your conduct, the way you conduct yourself. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone to Mexico on a vacation. Anybody here ever been to Mexico on a vacation? A couple of you. We were there a few years back, and I love getting to know the people and talking, developing friendships with the locals. And I was talking to some of their locals, and I was asking them about spring break. Now, spring break in Mexico is very interesting because, see, here's what happens. People go down to Mexico during spring break, and they pull off all stops. They drink way too much. They party way too hardy, and they get themselves into a lot of trouble. And it's actually pretty sickening. some of the things that happened down there in Mexico during spring break, the debauchery and just the stuff that people do. Why? Because they figure nobody knows them down there, so they can do whatever they want. When you're in Vegas, you know, what's in Vegas stays in Vegas, that kind of thing. See, but here's the problem. The problem is, though their family members or church or whomever may not see them, God does. And see, the thing is, so does the enemy. He sees exactly what we are doing. We've got to be consistent, folks. We've got to be consistent in the way we act, not just when everybody's around, but how do we act when nobody's watching? What do we think? What do we say? What do we do when nobody is watching us? We got to conduct ourselves in a worthy manner, is what Paul says in this portion of Scripture. See, here's the thing, folks. You are in a battle. Maintain your station. Your faith depends on it. You got to be consistent in the way we conduct ourselves. Secondly, we got to be consistent in our representation. It says here, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus. See, here's the thing. You and I are citizens, not just of Canada, but ultimately, if we have a life dedicated to Jesus, we're citizens of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, that means we are ambassadors or representatives of heaven to earth. So here's the thing. You and I have to be representing Jesus. So what are some of the characteristics that we know of Jesus? Give me some. What are some characteristics of Jesus?
Humble.
Humble. Peaceful. Loving. Mercy. Kind. Just. Compassion.
Joyful.
Strength. Gentle. Now, okay, wait a minute. We can go on for a long time. Does that describe you perfectly, right? Every one of you, right? Hallelujah. When they see you, this is what they're saying. There's that guy. Yeah, man, they're humble. They're gentle. They're, right? We are to be his representatives, folks, to this world. I used to be in construction, and I used to work in stucco, and, you know, it's interesting what happens on the construction yard. People... How should I put this? They're just a bit different, construction workers. Does anybody here work in construction? You know what I'm talking about, right? They're just a bit different. The language is a little bit more colorful, right? And their attitude is just... So anyways, I'd be out there, and the language, oh, Lord, I'd have to go home and wash out my ears with you know, soap and all that stuff. But you know what the fun thing was? Whenever they found out, at the time when I was working in construction, I was also part-time pastoring a church. And the fun thing was when they found out I'm a pastor. It was so much fun. I try to keep it off as long as possible, right? But inevitably it would come out, and then, oh, boy, did they change. Oh, you know, I used to go to church when I was young. I went to Sunday school. My grandma, she's a Pentecostal as well. And you know, all of a sudden they're trying to relate to me and you know, glory to God, hallelujah, and all that stuff was coming out of their mouth where before it was not so much glory to God-ish, right? You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden they're starting to trying to relate. See, here's the thing. You are a representative of God in every situation. And we need to conduct ourselves in a way that honors him. How are you doing? How are you doing with this? See, you're in a battle. You have a station to man. Maintain your station. Your faith depends on it. Secondly, in order to maintain our station, there has to be cooperation. Here's what it says in verse 27. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, contending as one man. The King James says, striving together as one man for the faith of the gospel. Standing. You need, and for as far as cooperation, you need to stand and you need to stand firm. It always amazes me when I look at armies, early armies. I'm right now reading a book by Alexander the Great, not by, but about Alexander the Great. And I read about this man who had 30,000 soldiers who was taking on armies like the Persian army that had 500,000 to a million soldiers, and he beat them. And one of the main reasons he was so successful was because of the way he would fight this battle. Go to the next slide. And what they would do is they would come into a formation where they would have shields above their head, shields in front of them, and they would push forward. And they would have the ranks behind them with spears, and they would have ranks in the middle with very, very long 16-foot spears. And they were a machine. People would throw boulders down on them, and they would just bounce off of their shields because of the armor that they had made. Can you imagine for a minute that in a formation like that, next slide, one of these guys decides, you know what, I don't really like this formation. These guys beside me, they stink. Like, they don't know what deodorant is. I'm out of here. Can you imagine if they broke rank and went out on their own? Can you imagine, next slide, if one of these guys decided they're not even going to wear armor? They're just going to go out there and they're just going to go enjoy life and sing their lives away. How long do you think one of these guys would last? Not long. Not long is the answer. Okay, can we say it? Not long. Just to make sure you're following with me here. See, here's the thing, folks. Why do we think that, go back, don't put that up there yet. Why do we think that we can make it on our own without the support of others? Why do we think that we don't need church or we don't need that body of people to surround us? Hebrews 10, verse 25 says this, "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the fact that we're part of a body and we need each other. You see that beautiful person sitting beside you? You need them. You see that not that beautiful person sitting someplace else? You need them too. See, the thing is, there may be people here that don't look the way you like. They may not dress the way you like. They may not even smell the way you like. But you need them. And even though some may rub you the wrong way, you still need them. Because here's the thing, you probably rub somebody else the wrong way as well. We need each other. We need to stand together. We need to cooperate as a body. And please, 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 folks, don't forget to put on your own armor. Now put on that next slide. So I found a good picture of a soldier. I don't know if you recognize the face, but if you look real close, he looks very familiar to our own Pastor Dave here. But see, here's the thing. You see it now? It took a while, but you see it. You see it. We need this armor. We need the helmet of salvation. And I'm not going to get into this all here today, but we need the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, and we need the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. You need that armor because you're not going to make it. You're in a battle. Are you following me? You don't go into a battle without armor or you're done. So are we conscientiously putting on that armor on a daily basis? So folks, we need to stand together. Secondly, we need to strive. It says contending as one man or striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, I don't know Greek. I'm not trying to impress you or anything, but I like this word in the original language for striving together. The word is synasleho. Told you I don't know Greek. If you took out the word son or soon, okay, you got, what's the rest of it? Athleho. What does that make you think of? Athlete, absolutely, of an athlete. So I know we talked about this already, but you're a team. You're not running this race alone. We are a team. We work together. The reason that we call membership here partnership is because, see, here's the thing. Alberto, I need you. I know you know that. But we need each other. We need to work together and to move forward together as a unit. Athletes that are playing in a sport, don't try to do it on their own. Well, some of them do, and then they fall flat on their face. That's why our Vancouver Canucks need some help, but that's beside the point. But see, here's the thing. What happens so many times is we try to do it on our own, or we don't like it the way somebody else does it, and then conflicts arise. You know, it's the saddest thing when there are conflicts between people in the church. It grieves my heart, and I can just imagine how it grieves the heart of God. And you know, some of those conflicts that arise are absolutely stupid. I use the S word. They're absolutely stupid. So there's a guy out there by the name of Tom Rainer, and you can look this up on the internet. He said 25 silly things, I call them stupid things, that divide churches. Let me just give you a few of them. These are actual things that brought division in the church. You ready for this? Here we go. Number one, there was an argument over the appropriate length of the worship pastor's beard. There was a petition, number two, to have all church staff clean shaven. I'd be out of here. I'm sorry. I'm gone. Right? Number three, a fight over whether or not to build a children's playground or to use the land for a cemetery. I love what Tom said. He says, I'm dying to find the resolution on that one. Number four, a 45-minute heated argument over the type of filing cabinets to purchase, black or brown, 2, 3, or 4 drawer. And Tom says, this is an official cabinet meeting for the church leadership. Number five, okay, it's lame. A church argument and vote to decide if a clock in the worship center should be removed. Maybe it should. It's starting. Ours is always slow. Number six, a fight over which picture of Jesus to put in the foyer. I like what Tom's question was. Who was there to take his picture in the first place? Just saying. Number seven, a business meeting arguments about whether the church should purchase a weed eater or not. It took 2 business meetings to resolve that. And he says, the fight was really wacky. Gotta love Tom Rainer. Number eight, arguments over what type of green beans the church should serve. The answer is, don't serve green beans. Just saying. Number nine, some church members left the church because one church member hid the vacuum cleaner from them. And he says, thus the second Electrolux church was born. Why would you hide the vacuum cleaner? You want it? I'll show you where it is. No problem there. Okay, where are we at here? Number 10, an argument on whether the church should allow deviled eggs at the church meal. He said, only if it's balanced with angel food cake for dessert. Number 11, the dispute over whether the church should allow people to wear black T-shirts, since black is the color of the devil. Ooh. And Tom says, are you sure he's not red? That's what I've heard. Number 12, and this is my favorite, a fight over using the term potluck instead of pot blessing. I get it, because, you know, luck, we don't believe in luck. But, I mean, it's good. I wished him lots of luck in figuring that one out. Anyways, the dumb things that are dividing the church, and we laugh at them. And see, here's the thing. So does the devil. And folks, it is the dumb things that the enemy tries to get us focused on to break the ranks, to get us pitted against each other on separate sides. Like, let it go. Seriously. I've got a beard I'm not going to shave. Let it go. I'm just saying. Like, whatever it is that bothers us, let it go. Pastor Les said it many times. If you're in a boat and you're paddling, it's not the exact words. He says, when you're in a boat, don't drag your feet, but paddle. Is that right? Something like that? If you're not going to paddle, don't drag your feet. See, I knew I'd get it right sometime. In other words, paddle. Because if you're not paddling, you're looking over at somebody you don't like and thinking, why are they not paddling? Well, guess what? You're not either. So we need to be working, cooperating together. You're in a battle, folks. You're in a battle. Maintain your station. Your faith depends on it. We need to cooperate. Lastly, we need confidence. Verse 28 says, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. See, the idea that Paul was trying to draw here was a battle where there is a horse. and the rider was on this horse, and the horse saw the threat ahead, and he's backing away because he's terrified of the threat that lies ahead. Now we don't run into battle without really considering or getting ourselves prepared, unless you're from the movie 300 and these guys with their shirts and, you know, woo, you know, that kind of, I'm not talking about, we don't run into a battle without being prepared. But as Christians, we don't even shy away from going into battle. We need to move forward. We need to have confidence that we can make it. So how do you get that? How do we survive this battle? Well, first of all, we got to understand some few things about the battle. Battles are proof. This is what it says here. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that of God. What he's talking about is he's saying to them, folks, you going into battle is a sign to your enemy that they will be destroyed. Are you following me? When you take up arms for the kingdom of God, the enemy isn't like, bring it on. He's like, this is not good. When we march ahead in the power of God, the enemy isn't like trying. He does his best to come against us, but he is terrified because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So here's the thing. When you are facing a battle, know for a fact that you're doing what God wants you to do. And know for a fact that as we remain true, God will bring us through in some way or shape. The battles are proof of our faith that God is on our side. Secondly, the battle is a privilege. Verse 29 says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him." We don't like that word, suffer. We wish we could take it out of the Bible. But the truth is, it's a promise that God has made to us that we will suffer. We like the other promises. I said this many times. We like the promises of blessing and of good health and all that stuff. But that's a promise too. But see, here's the thing. The thing is that it is a privilege because you are suffering for who? You're suffering for Christ. You're suffering when you're doing the work of Christ and the battle is against you. Man, they're taking it out on you, but it's Christ that's being attacked and you're standing on his behalf. And that, folks, is an incredible privilege. Going back to the 300, by the way, that was a true story about the 300 men that stood up and stood against there are 300 Spartans that stood up against the Persians at that time. And it's interesting, I haven't seen the movie, it's too violent for me, but the king at that time said this, "Children, gather round, no retreat, no surrender. That is Spartan law, and by Spartan law we will stand and fight and die. A new age has begun, an age of freedom, and all will know that 300 Spartans gave their last breath to defend it." See, if we could say, "I will stand for the kingdom of God. I will take a stand for righteousness. No matter what the enemy throws against me, I will stand." Let me tell you something, man. That is where God goes, "That's my boy. That's my girl. Yeah, I'm with you. Let's go. Let's do this. We're going to win this one." So stand strong. The battle is a privilege. Lastly, the battles are prevalent. They are commonplace. Verse 30 says, "Since you're going through the same struggles you saw I had, and now hear that I am still having." See, here's the thing again, folks, you're not alone. You're not alone. Are you hearing me? You're not in this alone. The enemy, the devil, wants to say, "Man, you will never make it because you're on your own. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to take any time for you. You just might as well give up." And that's what the enemy throws against us. But Paul says, "Hey, listen, I've gone through this. I know what you are going through, and I've made it." He's writing from a Roman prison, and he's saying to the people there, "Don't give up. Don't give up. I'm not giving up in this prison. You shouldn't be giving up wherever you find yourself." One of my favorite verses is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this, Therefore, since you are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that tangles us, keeps us back, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. He's saying, Hebrews 11 gives a picture of all the people that gone ahead, and they're looking at you and they're saying, don't give up. 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 I made it. I've done it. I can do, and you can as well. And there are people standing around you today saying the same thing. Folks, you can make it. You can and you will make it. The battles are prevalent. You're not alone in this. You need to stand your ground. You're in a battle. Maintain your station. Your faith depends on it. Let me end by telling you a little story. 1945, one of the most brutal battles in Japan was fought during World War II. It was fought at Okinawa. And it was fought at a place at the top of a cliff, a 400-foot drop down to the ground below. And on top of this cliff was the Japanese. They had fortified this area, and they were just pegging off the Americans as they were coming in. At that time, there was a young man by the name of Desmond. Some of you may know of this already. And he was a medic who refused to pick up a gun. And maybe some of you have seen Hacksaw Ridge. But he went into this battle without a gun, and he saw his comrades fall one after the other. And so what he did is he said, I'm going to get them. And he ran out, and he got one, you can go to the next slide, one after the other, he would grab, and he pulled out one after the other, and he brought him back to the edge of this cliff, this precipice, this 400-foot cliff, and he put him on a rope, and he slowly brought him down to the ground before, and he ran back, and his prayer was, God, give me just one more, just give me one more, and he ran back, and he grabbed another soldier amidst fire, amidst all the explosion, he grabbed and brought him back and let him down, one more, Lord, just one more, just one more. He went back, grabbed another. He did this over and over and over again for 75 times. And let down 75 people down the edge of this precipice. I tell you this story is because a hero is someone that says, you have given me a responsibility, Father. Just give me one more opportunity to fulfill it. Just give me one more chance. Just help me to get one more for your kingdom. Help me not to lose my post. Yeah, things are blowing up around me. Yeah, there's explosions, there's gunfire, but help me not to lose sight of where you want me to be. Desmond was wounded, but he got off the battlefield. And he was the first person to receive the Medal of Honor, the first conscientious objector, one that says, I will not pick up a gun, to receive a Medal of Honor from President Harry Truman at that time, October 12, 1945. God is calling you to man your station. You are in a battle. You are not to give up. Your faith depends upon it. And someday God will reward you with much more than just a medal. He will reward you with eternal glory. So, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name for your people. God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would help us to stand strong, to understand the reality of this war that we find ourselves in, but not to give up, not to give up, to keep going on, to keep pressing ahead, to find the strength and the power through your Holy Spirit to move on. God, if there are people here today that have become weary, that have become overwhelmed with the struggle, Holy Spirit, I pray you would strengthen them. I pray you would do a work in their lives right now. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and I'm going to call the worship team up here if you would please. If you're here today and you're saying, man, I get it. I get the battle thing, but I'm tired. I feel like I just can't keep this up. And I need help. And if you're here today and you say, man, I just need somebody to pray for me. Can I just see you put up your hand real quick? I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, back there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put down your hand. Thank you. Father, you see these hands. Lord, here are soldiers, people that just want to keep going. They really want to do what's right. They really want to press on, but the opposition is so extreme at times that they feel like they can't take another step. Spirit of God, would you enrich their life with that new energy, that spiritual vitality that they need to carry on? Would you help them to find strength and encouragement and comfort in you? And Lord, would you bless them with opportunities to serve you that would bring that new joy to their lives? Oh God, please, and as a body of believers, help us to be there to support them, to encourage them, to stand with them. Father, I pray blessing on your people. I pray blessing on the rest of this day. I pray blessing as we go downstairs and just enjoy some fellowship. Bless the soup that's been prepared, and God be glorified in everything that is said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stand as we sing together this closing song?